5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. Here's why I love my cat. Oh, man. You know, she's the longest relationship I've ever had. I got her in 2007. She's currently still alive against all the odds. She was an adult when I got her, so I think she's like 21 now. Every few weeks, I'm like, okay, she's kind of slowing down, and then she doesn't. She'll do something wild, like jump over something that's too tall for her to jump over. So she's great. And part of the reason I think that she's had such a long life and she's still jumping at 21 and still harassing people at her age is that I have always made sure to feed her high quality food. And listeners know that before my cat got into her extremely geriatric years, her favorite food was Smalls. For a limited time, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.co/hysteria. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. Starting with Smalls is easy. Just share info about your cat's diet and food preferences as well as their health. Then Smalls puts together a personalized sampler for your cat. No more picking between random brands at the store. Smalls has the right food to satisfy any cat's cravings. My cat is on a prescription diet now, but the last time I fed her it, she did the thing she always did, which is run to her dish, sit next to it, and look at me like I owe her money. Just could not wait to be fed. If you're still not a believer in Smalls, Forbes ranked Smalls the best overall cat food, while BuzzFeed said, my cats went completely ballistic for this stuff. Smalls also has a bunch of amazing treats and snacks you can add to your order. My cat loves any and all treats, so I do still give her the Smalls treats. It's a little early holiday gift. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a big deal. And the team at Smalls is so confident that your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. What are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve. For a limited time, because you are a Hysteria listener, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, on a recent appearance on our favorite podcast, Katie Miller's podcast.
Obviously.
Obviously our favorite podcast. It's the favorite podcast of literally tens of people, tens of dozens of people listen to that podcast, including me. But Kelly Johnson, the very beardy wife of Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, took a moment to draw a distinction between the brains of men and women. And it kind of was like nonsensical. She said that women's brains are like spaghetti and men's brains are
what
like
on earth?
Waffles. I'm not sure what that means. By the way, Alyssa, I like looked this up. I was like, did she come up with this herself? No. She didn't even come up with it herself. Like a 5-minute internet research, I found a bunch of like shitty pop psychology type TikToks and like podcasts that use that comparison. So she like ripped off that dumb idea from something else. But regardless, Alyssa, what food is your brain like?
My brain?
Yeah.
Well, Erin, I'm ambrosia. I'm an ambrosia salad. I'm marshmallows and mandarin oranges and sour cream.
You're a whole bunch of things that shouldn't go together, stuck together.
Pretty much. Isn't that me in a nutshell?
And suddenly you're at a picnic and you realize you've spent your entire time with the ambrosia. You're like,
it's delicious. You're like, this shouldn't make sense, but it's delicious.
That's funny.
What kind of brain are you?
I am. This is a very Los Angeles specific regional thing, but I'm a Zanku chicken combo platter.
Okay.
Because everything comes in little, there's little separate areas. Ostensibly, there's separate foods in there, but by the end of the day, it's all just mixed together and it tastes
like works. Ambrosia.
Yeah, but it starts out as separate. It's like, okay, here are the kebabs. Here's
right.
the garlic sauce. Here is the pickled turnips. And here's the like tomato salad. And by the end, it's just all like one big pile. Like nothing is ever separated. Everything all gets mixed together, but it's good and it lasts for days.
Just like ambrosia.
Just like ambrosia. Also, there was like a family murder at the center of Zanku Chicken, but I don't
really
go into it. Yeah, there's no family murder in my brain. Well, yes, there is actually, because I'm thinking about it right now. All right, fun show today. Today we get into some petty news in a heavy news week, including Caroline Leavitt's sad Thanksgiving dinner. Melania Trump's new production company and the University of Oklahoma student who blamed their stupidity on Christianity and got a teacher suspended. And then we have Alyssa.
Ina Garten.
Ina Garten. One that we've wanted since the show started. We finally landed an interview with her, so please stick around and listen to that. And of course, we round the show out with some Sani Petty. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that knows how to make stock from leftover turkey, unlike Caroline Leavitt, who clearly doesn't know how to cook.
My stock was 10 out of 10.
Your stock was 10 out of 10. The reason we're dunking on Caroline Leavitt is because A, she sucks, and B, she made a Thanksgiving dinner.
And allegedly.
And she posted this picture to her socials.
Let's take
a look at it. Claire, can you put it up? Okay.
There
so just to describe people listening to this this picture on an audio podcast, the turkey is drier than Ben Shapiro's wife's pussy. There is some sort of ruined. She's ruined the croissants, like the pop open bottle.
They look depressed.
I don't know how you would do that. After I saw this photo, they're like really puny. They're like the size of a large man's thumb. And then there's macaroni and no cheese. It's just macaroni.
It is there's a word for that macaroni. And it is, I don't even know if it's a real word, but my oma used to say it. It looks batsik. Like, Aaron, there's not even like a little paprika on the top. You know what I mean? Like something to bring it to life.
Oof. And now there's another shot of the chicken that has been carved.
It's
and
murder.
Inside, it looks like, you know what? It is so dry, you could call it astronaut chicken. You could put it in a little, sell it at the Air and Space Museum and be like, this is what they eat in space.
It's and you'd totally believe it.
It is. It is so dry.
But did she cut it with a chainsaw? Like,
also,
what happened to that bird?
I think there was also a picture. Oh, yeah. Her handsome hubs cutting the chicken. The old man she's married to. Cutting this chicken that is also, cutting the turkey. Cutting the turkey that is also charred. Here's what I think. So it looks to me like.
What do you think?
The turkey was cooked at too high a temperature because that's how you get a dry turkey.
And then she didn't know to put some foil on top of it to keep it from.
Right. It was
getting browner.
Cooked at too high a temperature, probably wasn't brined. Also, I was trying to figure out the little croissant rolls it's vexed me. It has vexed me. I'm like, how, if I was handed a tube of the pre-made croissant dough.
Yeah, which I have been before.
Yes. How could I make it turn out that way? And I think what happened is she cooked it at too low a temperature.
Too low a temperature. And you know what else? I think they'd been sitting on the counter for too long.
Yeah.
Because they have no definition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like normally if you cook them, if you rolled them up and then you put them in the oven at the appropriate temperature, which is probably like 400 and something, they look, you can see the little corner folded over. They look more like a croissant. Those look like nubs.
Yeah. Yeah. They just look like you rolled them up. Like if you're
But you know what else is really creepy?
What?
The bottom left, I was like, are those mushrooms? No, it is the saddest sweet potato casserole I have ever seen.
Oof, more like acerole.
It's
so dumb. So the Ben Shapiro's wife's pussy joke was good, though. Come on.
It was very good. Are you? I laughed.
Yeah, that all looks so, it looks so bad. And then also at the very tippy top, there are some green beans that at the same time look like they're too crispy and too mushy. Like
they've buried the carrots, which by the way, upon inspection, look like they are baby carrots.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Have you ever gone to someone's house? My mom's mom, grandma on my mom's side, was kind of a bad cook. And whenever we would go over to her house, it was like mushy vegetables and it wasn't good. But when I was there, I remember being like, you know what? You're at someone's house, you're eating. And I would always be able to pick out like one entree. Like, she would never ruin the stuffing too badly. So I would always eat a lot of stuffing. So it looked like my plate was full. I'm looking at Caroline Leavitt's Thanksgiving.
There's no beard food. There's no food I could put on my plate.
There is nothing. Like, what would I guess? Maybe the green beans? Like,
No, the green beans look insane. And you know that they're ice cold.
Oh.
I think, okay, if I had to pick one thing, I think it's probably the stuffing.
The stuffing
looks the closest to
what
passable.
It's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Alyssa, there's also like a cranberry slurry, which—
Don't get me, listen.
The desperation I'm feeling is like, what if I mix the cranberry slurry with the very dry turkey? Would that create something interesting?
Or the cranberry with the potato or the stuffing. It is the only sort of lubricant on the table.
Yeah, there's no viscosity at all in this food.
Like, there's no gravy.
There's no gravy. There's no cheese.
And that
there's
turkey
no
needs gravy.
You know, and looking at this and pondering it like it is a mantra, and I'm like, I'm meditating on how awful this meal looks. It made me think, you know what, Alyssa?
What?
I don't think most MAGA women can cook.
Look, I don't think they can discuss this.
I don't think they can cook. I don't think Caroline Leavitt obviously can't cook.
Well, here's the other, just real quick pause too. When you put a picture like this on social media, you think it looks good.
You think it looks good.
Which belies the fact that they actually 100% do not know what food is supposed to look like.
Yeah. You know, my husband and I used to have this like this joke when we would go eat food that was like a little bit like challenging. So food that was like outside of the norm of what you can get normally. Like when we were in Chile, we had a joke that was like, "Do y'all have any chips?" And it was like a guy who was like a red state American who like didn't want to eat any of this stuff on the menu because it was like too weird. I feel like this family is a like, "Do y'all have any chips? Just plain chips." Like that sort of a family. And like, yeah, anyway, but MAGA women can't cook. I think MAGA women
cannot remember,
cook.
No, because remember, we profiled a roast chicken recipe last year
in one magazine.
That's right. And it didn't include a temperature,
as I recall. It didn't include a temperature or an amount of time.
It was like, you're just going to bake that chicken.
It was like step one, roast the chicken. That's how you make roast chicken. Oh, okay. Do I dry it off? What's the temperature? Is it breast down or breast up? Is anything on top of it? Is anything under it?
I mean,
is anything inside it? Do I truss it? Like, what's going on here?
That is a woman who does not have a New York Times cooking subscription.
Or, by the way, Epicurious is the superior
food and
recipe.
Wine. Yes, they're all wonderful. They all also, you know, it's like you're looking for something. You find three or four recipes that are like roughly similar. You pick the one that looks the best to you.
You read the comments. You see if there's a comment that got a lot of engagement that's like, actually put more spice in it because blah, 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 blah.
No,
like,
curiosity was in this table.
Well, right. Here's another reason why I think MAGA women, by and large, cannot cook. Okay. Think about who a MAGA woman is. Picture her, right?
Okay. Yes.
She's 58 and blonde, and her hair is crying for conditioning.
And there may or may not be a dead dog.
Right, right.
Okay.
I don't think that they're pro-seasoning. I don't think that they season their food very well.
That's because ethnic people season, Aaron. Well,
and I don't think that they're open-minded about interesting techniques for preparing food. I think that they're maybe interested in food that looks a certain way rather than tastes better. I think they're probably still on a white meat train, even though dark poultry is much tastier. It's more economical. Like, whatever. There's, like, health concern. If you have a health concern, it's whatever. But dark meat is the superior meat if you're cooking with poultry.
Right.
Like, I just feel like they have claimed this mantle of, like, the happy homemaker, the, like, trad wife. Like, I do what women are supposed to do. But, like, I don't think you bitches can cook. I really don't.
No. I have to say, I'd go head-to-head with Caroline Leavitt for sure.
I would go head-to-head. If you just randomly picked a woman that works for Donald Trump, that works in the Trump White House, or that's a surrogate for him, I would go head-to-head with her. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Aaron, I think we just found our reality TV show that we can pitch to the Food Network.
Blue Kitchen.
Purple Kitchen.
Purple Kitchen. Well, it's where one Republican and one Democrat get together and cook a meal, and you learn that Republican food is, like, bad.
Really terrible.
I mean, I think Paula Deen Paula Deen's food tasted good, right?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, some of it looked a bit aggressive.
I love this in the butter department. I love this butter. You know, okay, so we're going really deep into this, but I think it's very important for us to point out in the midst of all of the very serious stuff that's going on that these people are fucking frauds. They're phony.
100%.
They're complete frauds.
Do you know what they're not even? What? They're not even Sandra D semi-homemade. At least that woman had creativity.
She was fun. You would watch semi-homemade and you'd be like, you know what?
Gluck is how she pours her vodka.
It'd be like, you know, remember the Kwanzaa cake episode of that?
Oh, my God. Iconic.
I watch that every year. I watch that every single year. It is so fucking funny. And every time I watch it, it's like funnier and funnier. And it's, see, but she's fun. She was fun. She's
also
fun.
Also, like, some of her recipes, you were like, okay.
Yeah. And also, she was filling a niche. She wasn't trying to pretend like she was making everything from scratch.
She would have known how to treat those croissant rolls, those crescent rolls. 100%.
She would have decorated them with little, like, feathers to make them look like little turkeys. And it
absolutely
would have looked crazy.
They would have had color.
You would have been like, how do I eat this? But it would have been something interesting. And they would have been cooked properly. Okay. On that note, like I said, it's been a heavy couple of weeks. What with, you know, the war crimes and the president threatening to invade Venezuela and also talking about Minnesota, using the R slur to talk about the governor of Minnesota.
It's gross.
Which, you know, by the way, I feel like I'm saying this, like, I had an uncle that had Down syndrome growing up, mm-hmm. and I, like, saw him almost every day. And I think he'd be a better president than Donald Trump. Like,
have compassion.
He had compassion. He had focus. He had, like, curiosity about the world. So, like, actually, you know, whatever. Anyway, he's also been pardoning criminals that are pretty egregious, like drug runners. And he's been pardoning nursing home fraudsters. Like the type of people that even prison abolitionists are like, that guy should be in jail, you know?
100%.
And there's so much existential dread that, Alyssa, you and I have decided that this week's news is just going to be pure petty. Pure petty, because at their core, MAGA people are performative cornballs, dipshits, douchebags, and morons, right? And now let's focus on that. Let's focus
on
that. Speaking of, which category does this next subject fall into? Cornball? Dipshit?
I think cornball, not quite dipshit, but... Our first lady, Melania Trump, announced her new production company, Erin. She has a production company, Muse Films. Muse Films. Muse was reportedly the Secret Service code name for her during the first Trump administration. This I thought was funny. She got a new one for this term? She didn't have to.
Do we know what the new one is?
No, but I think it's funny. You know, I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it. I mean, Muse? The muse of what? Of Donald Trump?
I don't know.
What does that say?
I mean, you know the phrase like, yes, girl, give us nothing. That's what I see. That's what I think when I see her. She's just serving.
My favorite thing, which like totally I think is conspiracy, but I love, is every time she's with Donald Trump and has her sunglasses on, the internet tries to prove that it's like a stand-in. It's not
Sometimes
really her.
I think it actually has been.
Sometimes
I do think there's a fake Melania.
There are some pictures of her nose close up that I'm like, those do look like two different noses.
There is definitely a fake Melania. And she wears like the big glasses and she was like the wrong height and the wrong build.
Like, yes. So like, but here's the thing about this production company. Why do they keep launching businesses when they're working in the White House? I can't express just enthusiastically enough how this is not appropriate, how no one has done this before. It's just, and I, you know, you'd think, because like production company in its, like by itself is not necessarily a money-making endeavor, mm-hmm. except that it's listed on IMDb as one of the production companies that made her documentary. Therefore, it is making money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every once in a while, I will realize that I have some very MAGA-sounding opinions, and I have a very MAGA opinion that I'm going to share right now.
Okay. I bet it's actually not that MAGA.
I was listening to Volodymyr Zelensky address some European leaders just kind of in the background. It was like mm-hmm. part of a news story I was listening to on the radio. Why does he speak better English than the First Lady of the United States? Why does the president—
You know what?
Why? She has been married to a guy who only speaks English, allegedly. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really talk very much. Otherwise, she'd probably be better at speaking English. So have me on your show, Tucker Carlson, is what I'm saying. Because this is like the most Tucker-esque opinion I have, for sure. Melania shouldn't be making money from... I find her like so repugnant. She hates decorating for Christmas. Like, is she really going to like enjoy working at a production company? There's nothing this woman likes less than doing anything.
It feels... The production company feels, again, like a bit of a money laundering situation, which is... what we know, everything, like, just it feels like a pass-through, which is probably what it is. But also, her Secret Service name, Muse. Can I give you some of my favorite Secret Service names for first ladies?
Yes, please.
Okay, Barbara Bush was Snowbank. 10 out of 10.
That's
Can't you just
so
picture
good
a Kennebunkport snowbank? Okay.
She just gave the impression that she would whack you with her purse.
Well, she did, basically, Geraldine Ferraro when she ran. Remember, she said it rhymes with witch, but she apologized for that. But I still, you just wouldn't tussle with Barbara Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Bess Truman was Sunnyside. I thought that was like very
cute.
Sprightly. And Nancy Reagan was Rainbow. I felt like that was also quite appropriate.
Is that like backhanded? Or
I don't know. It's like she has her like... I don't know. She liked astrology and the stars and the sky, and I just like rainbow seems.
But
seems
rainbow
right.
is like a sign of the LGBTQ community, and she famously helped slow walk the Reagan administration
AIDS.
Response to the AIDS crisis.
You know what? Shit, good one. Yikes.
Fuck that. Well,
I didn't
also
think about
the thing that I thought about rainbow was rainbow party. Do you remember that?
No. I remember Rainbow Bright.
Oh, my God. If you ever were homesick from school in the 90s and you, like, were watching the late afternoon talk shows and they were, like, having parents being like, it's the new trend, worrying parents across the country, rainbow parties. And it was, like, this urban legend that girls were putting on different colors of lipstick and then pleasuring boys. And that was, like,
there was a Law and Order episode about this.
Oh, my God.
There was an SVU. That's how I know it. That's
what
you hear. This is the like nexus of our 7 however many years older I am than you is like you saw the party. I know about the party from Mariska Hargitay.
I wonder how many things Mariska Hargitay has introduced you to, like,
so many things. Anti-vaxxing.
She's had
like all kinds of different anti-vaxxers, but my favorite was when she went after the specifically Tribeca anti-vaxxing moms. Such a good episode.
Oh my God. Anyway, rainbow party because of the rumors about Nancy Reagan.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you guys can Google it. I don't want to get sued by a dead lady's estate, but you can Google it. Nancy Reagan reputation. What was yours, Alyssa?
A popsicle.
That's cute.
I was Popsicle. It's actually, I inherited a very male name. And when I became deputy chief of staff and had a Secret Service name, my cohort was Nancy Ann DeParl. And we both were like, we want girly names. So she was Peaches and I was Popsicle.
Peaches and Popsicle?
We were Peaches and Popsicle. And we used to laugh all the time because the whole reason I picked Popsicle is because I would joke with the Secret Service guys, make them say it over the radio when it was hot. They'd be like, anyone have eyes on Popsicle? And someone would go, Popsicle's melting.
That's so cute. I love that.
Those were the days.
What projects would you like to see Muse Films do? If they were able to do a film and, like, surprise you with their quality, what would you want to see them do?
What would we want to see them do?
I would want to see an expose about the modeling industry basically being human trafficking.
Oh, that'd be a good one. I feel like she's anti-human trafficking. She wrote that note to Putin, didn't she?
I mean,
to
AI
give the babies
that.
Back I'm that they kidnapped sure that, from Ukraine.
I'm pretty sure that AI wrote that, and she just sat there staring into the middle distance as one of her assistants printed it out, and then she read it in the English that she should be better at speaking. I'm sounding so cunty. Like,
no,
Melania, I'm just saying specifically.
It's our petty news episode.
Specifically, Melania Trump has no excuse. Specifically,
no.
Melania Trump has no excuse. Okay.
Do you think it's because she doesn't want to talk to Donald?
I think that that's at the root of it. I don't
yeah.
think... I think
it's, that you, feels like part of it.
You cannot... The White House has been pushing all of this content lately that's like, dream couple, like, whatever, on Instagram.
So much hand-holding.
So much hand-holding, which is funny because during the first Trump administration, she was known for repeatedly slapping his hands
yeah,
away.
Yeah, she would, especially like walking up Air Force One, she'd flick his hand away.
I wonder if there was a refresh of the prenup that offered her, like, an up...
A
like
production company?
In something, if she...
And demolition no longer, of her wing?
If she no longer, like, let him hold... Or if she no longer fought him holding her hand.
Well, you yeah. know, the thing I saw, which was, like, a actual video, I think it was on CNN or something, where she was walking with him to Marine One and, like, kind of holding him up. And the whole video was very funny because it's like, if your only job on the planet is to like essentially escort your husband to the helicopter, then like, are you going to wear 3-inch heels on grass in the middle of winter? Just, it like was so perilous. It was like, girl, you got one job. Like, yeah. put some flats on. If they were a wreck. It was one of the funnier things I've seen.
Yeah, she's a human walking stick at this point. Mm-hmm. Speaking, human walking stick to the actual picture of health. The president who apparently has had an exemplary MRI
Aaron,
of some part of his body.
So back in October, he apparently got an MRI that he said had perfect results. But
Have you
Aaron
ever had an MRI?
I have had an MRI. And I have to tell you, I very specifically knew what the MRI was looking for. Almost any real doctor will tell you they don't just scan your whole body because yeah. it usually is more – it will always find something is like mm-hmm. what they say. But it's not that the something is anything. That's why you just use MRIs to look for specific things. But he couldn't say what part of his body was scanned. Like
that's
at odd. All. Like,
okay.
He was just like, I got a scan and it was perfect. And then I took a mental exam, a cognitive test, and it was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Those are things that they just give to people who are healthy. They give
all
you
all the time,
like,
right?
When I go to the doctor, they're like, name three things. Like, here's an MRI. We just want to make sure everything's okay with you. Like,
you know what? Like, you know, and for they were lots of medical experts have been on TV saying a man his age, maybe they're scanning the kidneys or the prostate, the heart or circulatory system, his brain, mm-hmm. since he
or
said
his
he
breasts.
Had a cognitive test.
Breasts.
Or you do like to make the point they could be scanning his breasts.
They could be scanning his breasts because, you know, men have breast tissue as well.
They do.
Especially old men who have spent their whole lives eating trash. They've got breast tissue. But it probably wasn't his breasts. Like, given what we've seen from his health, like, it could have been something circulatory, especially given his chronic venous insufficiency.
Yeah.
That caused his cankles to explode.
And his bruises all the time.
His bruises, which could be as a result of being administered intravenous medications, which are mm-hmm. often used for things like congestive heart failure or for, like, kidney-related treatments.
Sundry yeah. medical issues.
Yeah, but the White House won't say what part it was on. Did we find out what part it was on?
No, just that the results were perfect.
Okay. Doctors right? don't usually say that, though. Like,
no, they don't. When old Caroline Leavitt read, I'm using air quotes here, read the report from the doctor, it was, again, unlike any medical report I've ever gotten from a doctor.
I swear to God, these people lie so much about his health that on his tombstone, when he finally departs this mortal coil, it will say, still alive.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Like, you know what it made me think of? I think I told you this story. I had to get an ultrasound. And get an ultrasound. It's taking way longer than it should. You know, an abdominal ultrasound. Way longer than it should. Several techs coming in, speaking in a hushed tone. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I ask my doctor to get the test results rushed because I'm like, what's happened? Now, here's the thing. The test result, was I normal? Yes. Did the test results say I was normal? No, Do you know what I mean? It was like, yeah. Oh, actually, Alyssa, the reason they spent 30 minutes scanning your womb is because, not because you have a cyst or something that needs surgery, it's because your ovary has shrunk to the size of a currant. That's why. And that is what the medical report said. And so it's like, I don't know. They should just stop reading the results because none of us believe them.
No, we don't. Nobody believes them at all.
No one believes you. Mike Johnson doesn't believe you. Yeah. Okay, Mitch McConnell doesn't believe you. Nobody believes you.
Oh, my God. Mitch McConnell has to just be like, so, I mean, whatever.
He's like, look over there.
Yeah, I don't
He's
feel
like, keep looking over there.
I don't feel bad for him at all, but I do have an understanding of how frustrated he must be. Like, because he's a guy who's had, I think, game recognized game. Because, like, he's right. had medical issues his whole life. He's a survivor of polio.
Polio.
So he's had to have treatments his whole life. And I'm sure that he just, like, sees the president and is like,
bro,
I fucking know you're doing stuff, dude. Like, I can see it because I've had stuff done to me frequently. And, like, it's got to be really frustrating to just
yes.
be like, are you kidding me? You're just lying about it.
But yeah, he's, according to Caroline Leavitt, results were perfect.
That's great. Great, Caroline. They're as perfect as your fucking turkey. All right. So now we're going to get to a part of the show that nearly drove our associate producer, Claire, insane. She was coming. She came over to my desk yesterday and she was like, the more I read about the more there is. I don't know if we even have time to talk about it on the show because I keep reading and there's more and more stuff.
I found Professor Reddit on this one. I went down Professor Reddit.
Oh, Theologian Reddit also is going
I went to Theologian TikTok.
Theologian TikTok, which I didn't realize was a thing. Yep. Yeah, I think I liked
God
a couple,
talk.
I liked a couple posts about the Pope, and now every once in a while I get like some master, yeah. like some MDiv from Harvard talking about
Love
like
it.
Biblical principles, and it's usually like from a leftist perspective. But all right, we're going to talk about a reading from the Book of Morons. Now is the time
good.
In the show we have to talk about a random girl's shitty college paper. In case you missed it, lucky you, a post by Oklahoma University's Turning Point USA chapter with the headline, Transgender Professor Fails Student for Quoting the Bible in Her Essay, went viral on multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with this is the problem with a lot of Turning Point USA and other like Daily Wire conservative media pushed stories, which is if you read past the headline or you hold it up to any kind of scrutiny or criticism, the whole thing falls apart.
Gets sus.
Yeah, it's basically a gingerbread house held together with chewing gum. Like, you just give mm-hmm. it a little push and it collapses. So here's the story.
Okay.
Junior, I keep seeing the F word in her last name.
It's, I pronounce it like.
I kept wanting
like
to say
from
Fulnecki.
The Greece. Like, no,
oh,
Fulnecki.
Knicki, yeah.
Knicki.
Her name is Samantha Fulnecki, which I keep wanting, Fucknecki, but whatever.
Yes.
She received a zero on a 650-word response paper to an academic article about gender in her psychology class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to review, academic article about gender in a psychology class. Okay.
Which she's a major in, right?
She's a major in and she's a junior. She's a junior and she's
so
a major in it.
Close.
Close. She's close. According to her instructor's feedback, her submission did not answer the assignment's questions, contradicted itself, relied too heavily on personal ideology rather than empirical evidence in a scientific class, and was at times offensive. The TPUSA post includes Fulnecki's full essay, which reads much more like a hateful botched sermon, like a regurgitated sermon. Like she heard a sermon
yes.
and then tried to like write it down from memory, but it doesn't quite make sense because the sermons don't make sense really if you hold them up to any muster. But anyway, it includes the line, society pushing the lie that there are multiple genders and everyone should be whatever they want to be is demonic and severely harms American youth. No citation. No citation.
She had no citations. I read the whole thing. I even found the article that I think she was told to read. Because I'm like, I need to see what the article was. I need to see what they were responding to. And honestly, she deserved zero.
So this dumb bitch, this dumb fucking bitch, she gets a zero because she didn't do the assignment. She tried to use the Bible to support her argument, but didn't even cite what books, chapters, or verses she
verses
was citing.
Verses nothing.
She just didn't do the assignment. It'd be like if I showed up to Bible study with a physics book and I just like started arguing with everybody based on like math. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's no way God created the world in 6 days. Math, math, math. Like, get the fuck out of, we're in Bible study. Get out. This is not what we're doing here. Like, or a theology class where I cited Harry Potter. Like, according to the rules of Quidditch, it's like, no, you're using the wrong, first of all, you're using the wrong source in a class that isn't about this, and you're not even citing the source you say you're using properly, and it did contradict itself. There was one
also,
part,
it was extremely poorly written.
It was really stupid. Like,
it was stupid.
I
never used that word.
If
but it
I
was
were
dumb.
A student at the University of Oklahoma, and I was, like, about to get my degree, I would be like, this bitch
so pissed.
Is making us all look so fucking dumb. She is so dumb. Like, here's the thing. So a lot of people are dunking
but
on
actually
her.
Not, because she got a zero.
She got a zero, but then because she complained about it, she's like, it's because I'm Christian. It's like, no, because you're fucking stupid. The paper was reassessed by a different staffer and also given a zero. And but regardless, after she complained about it being because she was Christian and like the TPUSA story started blowing up, this professor, this graduate assistant, I think it was, ended up getting suspended. Suspended for grading her, for not doing DEI for dumbasses and giving her a passing grade on a paper that didn't answer the question, wasn't written well, and didn't support any of the sources that she said she used. It's like,
can I just also make a point? When I read her paper, I was thinking about myself in college, and I'm like, the quality of writing and arguing was less good than papers I wrote in foreign languages.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say middle school, but like...
Yes, that too. But I was like, my French papers were like 10x better than this. And it's her major.
It's her major.
That's the part that's also, this isn't some like, you know, ancillary class she was taking for a good time and got twisted and whatever. This is her major.
It's her
and
major.
And she didn't make one argument. Like, that was the interesting part of Professor Reddit that I went down, is they were like, look, I could disagree with this woman all day long, but she didn't even make an argument.
Right.
Like, she didn't make the argument. That's
exactly.
The point. She didn't support her point.
And there is academic research that could support a conservative ideology, because the New York Times cites it all the time in their dumbass opinion pages. You know what I mean? Like, there are debates about the ethics of certain things around gender identity, and there is a way to engage in that debate from a conservative perspective that uses citations, because even like a Barry Weiss or some like free press asshole that's writing an anti-trans article has the good sense to try to cite studies. Often those studies are bullshit, but at least they are studies.
They've done the work. They did work to try to support their argument. She did no work.
The bar is in hell. And here's the thing that I want our listeners to understand. The fact that Turning Point USA magnified this story and they were like, here we are, victims, nailed to the cross, just like Jesus, all the time, Christians, whatever. They go fishing for these things. They are looking for people who fit this. They want a telegenic Christian girl who's getting marked down. And like it ticks all these boxes that seem like it would be a perfect story. You know how there are people out there in the U.S. that literally fish for Supreme Court plaintiffs to challenge laws. Like Becky with the bad grades, the girl from Texas who didn't get into the University of Texas and challenged affirmative action all the way to the Supreme Court was somebody that an anti-affirmative action activist found through a process of like casting a net. That is what these right-wing organizations are doing.
It's another great example. When they try to find students who have been harmed by letting trans people participate in their sports, like they cast such a wide net, they found the one girl in Connecticut, like, and they make it seem as if it is some pervasive issue when it is something they had to literally hunt like a needle in a haystack for.
Right. And they make it seem like this person is bravely standing up. And it's like, no, they like recruit them.
Right.
They recruited them. And this girl, I'm sorry, also in the essay, the TPUSA post, like it posted the essay that included screenshots of the paper, which had yellow underlining in it for grammatical errors.
Yes.
Grammatical errors in college. This dumb, dumb bitch. I'm sorry. She said in her paper that bullying was okay, so we're going to do it a little bit.
We're bullying you a little bit because also she never learned how to diagram a sentence.
She never
there were like so many problematically structured sentences in that thing.
Also, I've seen people do like deep dives into her family, and her mom is this like ridiculous, like realtor ass looking lady with like the giant Missouri bangs. And, like, it's just like people like this are going to be, you know, in the news and have viral stories around them. And we have to understand, as consumers of the news, the way the sausage is made is that there are organizations that are very well funded by donors that are not young people. Like TPUSA is not fund; it's not a grassroots movement. It has giant bales of money that came from crusty old raisin-looking guys and girls who are like trying to create the impression that conservatism is a grassroots movement among young people, and it is not. So these groups exist because of first of all, they're all astroturfing in the first place. The way that these stories are magnified, the way that these stories are chosen is very deliberate. It is not accidental. They're magnified in part by like utilizing armies of bots, utilizing armies of fake accounts. Like Elon Musk just unmasked where almost every account originated from.
Yeah.
And we saw that a ton of MAGA influencers with tons of followers are from like Eastern Europe, Botswana, Southeast Asia. They're not from the U.S. Like Tel Aviv. There are places that what I am saying here is that we really need to be careful as news consumers to understand that these stories are fake, 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 fake. And people who work in universities who are in positions to fire graduate assistants or to put people on leaves of absence are falling for it. This
right.
is fake shit, and it has real consequences. So I just want – I know that, like, everyone's probably heard this story at this point, but I just want people to think about that every time a viral story about a perfect conservative victim who looks like she was runner-up in, like, the Miss Chattanooga pageant pops up in the news. This is probably some fake bullshit. So anyway, that's my tinfoil hat segment.
Fake bullshit.
Of the day. It's some fake bullshit. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back.
Ugh, she's here.
We got her. Ina
she's
Garten.
She's here.
Ina Garten is here.
The Barefoot Contessa.
Hysteria is brought to you by Hiya. As listeners of this show know, my four-year-old is, I think she might qualify for the picky eater Olympics. She is so picky. I don't know how she keeps growing. She is tall. She loves to run around. Somehow she is being fueled by meatballs, mac and cheese, pizza, and Hiya vitamins, and it is all turning into her being a healthy and active kid. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise. They're filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives that growing kids should not eat. That's why Hiya created a super-powered, chewable vitamin. While many kids' vitamins have a lot of sugar in them, like I mentioned, Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy additives, yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. My four-year-old calls it her alphaba vitamins because their colors are pink, green, and yellow, and pink and green are two of the colors in Wicked, and Wicked is one of her favorite movies. She loves taking her Hiya vitamin. She even asks me for it. If I forget, she'll come up to me and say, I haven't had my vitamin yet, Mom. And it makes me feel... I'm glad that she's on top of things. That's all I got to say. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they love. Formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immune system, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. Hiya is designed for kids 2 and up and sent straight to your door, so parents have one less thing to worry about. And are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Hiya now has Kids Daily Greens and Superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/hysteria. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/hysteria and get your kids the full-body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who love a roast chicken on a Friday night.
Today's guest is number one New York Times bestselling author of over 13 cookbooks and her memoir that came out earlier this year, Be Ready When the Luck Happens. She's the host of Barefoot Contessa and Be My Guest. And when we can't sleep, she's Who Whispers, How Easy Was That to Us? Ina Garten, welcome to Hysteria.
So nice to be here. Hi, both of you.
Hi, we're so happy. You were one of our bucket list guests from when we started this show. 7 years ago, we've been like,
yes.
You know what? Dream. And our dream is coming true today. So, Ina, thank you so much for being here. Ina, you have built a food empire, but you were not raised among foodies. What were meals like growing up? Do you have a favorite food memory from childhood?
No. It was broiled chicken, canned peas. It was just dreadful, absolutely dreadful. My mother was trained as a dietitian and just thought you shouldn't have any carbohydrates or fat. I mean, I was just like, I can't tell you how I spent the rest of my life sort of overcoming that. there are very few things that she made that I really kind of carry forward as remembered flavors. One of them is Parmesan chicken, which I've done a variation of. Probably the most, the recipe I've used the most at home, beside roast chicken. And there's a pumpkin mousse that she used to make, that she would take all of the, for the holidays, and she would take all the whipped cream out of it. So it was like dry, but it had a lot of flavor. So that was good. So I think really I started cooking when I first got married and I taught myself how to cook.
Yeah, let's talk a little about that. You met Jeffrey and were married young, and you worked in the White House. And I have to this day not heard anyone talk about working in the White House with more ennui. What was your job, and how did this job lead you to Barefoot Contessa?
I worked at a group called, Alyssa will know this, group called Office of Management and Budget. I started out in legislative affairs where every piece of legislation that was passed by the Congress was sent to the president to either sign or veto. And we had to do kind of an outline of what the bill was about and a recommendation about whether to sign it or not. And we would give him three options. One was always too expensive and did more than necessary. The third option was always much cheaper but didn't do anything. And the middle option was really the only option. Isn't that the way those issue papers worked out?
Yeah.
So I did that for 2 years, and then I was working a lot on the science issues, and the science and technology group asked me to come over there. So I worked on nuclear energy policy for another 2 years. And that was the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the budget, and parts of then the Department of Energy that had to do with the nuclear energy.
How did you go from that to Barefoot Contessa? Like, how do those two things connect?
They don't. I liked my job. I thought it was really interesting. I'm not great working for other people. I like to have a lot of independence. And I kind of looked around and I said to myself, nobody is ever going to make a girl the head of this organization. And this was in the 1970s. And I thought, if I'm going to succeed, I need to find a path that allowed me to succeed because of my talent, not because of somebody else choosing me. And so I knew I needed to start my own business. And while I lived in Washington, I can't even imagine I did this, but I did. While I was working at the White House, I went to business school. I bought old houses and renovated them and taught myself how to cook and gave dinner parties. And it didn't even occur to me that it was unusual. But when I look back, I think, how in the world did I do that? But I knew I wanted to either go into real estate or into the food business. I just didn't know which one. And I was sitting in my office one day at OMB. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. I really was exhausted, which is not a good sign. And I opened the newspaper, and there in the New York Times was an ad for a specialty food store for sale in a place I'd never been, which was West Hampton Beach. And I just thought, God, that sounds like fun. And I went home that night and told Jeffrey about it. And he said, let's go look at it. And I was like, okay. And we drove up the next weekend, looked at this specialty food store. I knew nothing about it. I mean, I literally knew not a thing. And I just decided I want to do it. So I made the woman a low offer. I thought, oh, well, I'll go home. We'll negotiate. I'll think about whether it's a good idea. And she called me. I was back in my office the next day, and she called and said, thank you very much. I accept your offer. And I went, oh, shit. Now I actually have to do this.
So, Ina, you are now the owner of Barefoot Contessa. You're trying to figure out how to get the right baguettes made, right? There were many, many hurdles to opening the shop. And in the throes of all this, you and Jeffrey actually separate.
Yeah.
So why did you guys separate, and how did you end up getting back together?
I think that when I ran the store, I kind of was starting to find myself as separate from being somebody's wife. And when we lived in Washington, it was the 70s. We had fairly traditional roles. I mean, he always believed in me, and he was always extraordinary. But I was the one who made dinner when we got home from work, and it just annoyed me. I loved making dinner, but it annoyed me that it was expected. And that we kind of had much more traditional roles than we do now. And I didn't feel like I had too much independence because, you know, I had to do the things that a wife does. And Jeffrey felt that he had to do the things that a husband does. And I wanted to stop that. And I felt like the only way to do it is just take a break. And I didn't know it was going to happen when I think now how scary that was. Because it would have been very easy to lose what we had. But he really heard me. And Jeffrey was at the State Department. He worked for Kissinger and Vance.
Right.
And he had a trip around the world I can't remember what it was for, but he was going around the world. And it was, like, I can't remember, 2 months. And he really thought about it when he was traveling. And then when he came back, we met in California and just talked about what we wanted to do independently that we didn't feel that we could do because we were married. And we each had a few things, and we really worked it out. I just have so much respect for him that he was willing to listen, and so grateful, to say the least.
Has it ever been shocking to you how inspiring and almost fantastical it has been for people to imagine taking off their shoes and actually being friends with their husbands?
Well, I hope most people are friends with their husbands.
I feel like not in the way that you and Jeffrey are.
Yeah, we're kind of like, our idea of a great night is just have dinner at home and watch a great movie and just be together. Yeah.
Other than Jeffrey, what's been the most important relationship in your life?
It's really hard to imagine a second one. It's I never really had a mentor in my business. Mm-hmm. I have really good friends that mean a lot to me. But I mean, Jeffrey's just been a guiding light. I always think to myself, I mean, right now he's done so many different things, but right, you know, in the early 2000s, he was the dean of the business school at Yale. And I think, how do you get that lucky that you've got a business advisor over dinner?
Okay, so in honor of the queen of cozy, Nancy Myers, the Barefoot Contessa was famously featured in a scene in Something's Gotta Give. Ina, what's your
go-to? Wasn't that great?
Yeah, amazing.
It was just great.
Yeah, R.I.P. Diane Keaton, for sure. Ina, what's your go-to cozy holiday movie? Are there any that are like, it gets to be cold outside, it's getting dark early, and all you want to watch is this movie?
Well, it's got to be Something's Gotta Give.
Oh, yeah?
For sure. And then I can look for all the details of Barefoot Contessa. So Barefoot Contessa was, Nancy had this thing, which was really sweet, and I didn't know her. But they filmed in the store, and then they ended up recreating it in L.A., the store, which was really sweet. It was a moment in the film. And years later, actually, I'll digress a little bit. Years later, I was in a restaurant in New York having lunch with a friend, and a woman started coming over to me, and I was like, oh, what's this going to be? And she came over and she said, hi, I'm Nancy Myers. I was like,
oh my God,
have a seat. So we've become very good friends since then. It was such a moment. It was really flattering that she
that's awesome.
liked what I do.
That is so cool.
I'd say there are several favorite Christmas movies. One is Of course, Nancy's movie, Something's Gotta Give. And The Holiday, we just saw recently, was so much fun. And, of course, everybody's favorite, Love Actually. So those are cozy Christmas movies, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Ina, I actually have a really embarrassing story about Love Actually.
What is it?
So many years ago, the president and first lady were hosting a state dinner in the UK and for the Queen's Jubilee. And Colin Firth was a guest there. And two of my colleagues knew that I did what I thought was a very funny British impersonation of Colin Firth in Love Actually. So after some Dayquil and champagne, they were like, Alyssa, do your Colin Firth to Colin Firth.
Oh, no.
And I did it. I did it. I was like, we love Uncle Jamie. We hate Uncle Jamie. And he did not think I was amusing at all.
Oh, no, how awful.
No. Nope. Nigella Lawson thought I was funny. Colin Firth did not think I was that funny. But
you know, I think one of the things that we don't know when we're talking to somebody like that is whether every single person that talks to them does the same thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You just don't know.
See, and that's what I thought, Ina, because the King's Speech had just come out and everyone was talking about the King's Speech. So I'm like, I'm gonna stick with Love Actually. And he was like, you're so American.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, then more Ina. Hysteria is brought to you by OneSkin. If you're like me, your skin needs a little extra care this time of year. Between colder weather and the rush of the holidays, it's easy for your skin to feel dry, dull, or stressed. That's why I've been sticking with OneSkin. You know, the holidays are coming up, and I think that I am going to both ask for and gift one of their limited edition holiday sets, including the Nightly Rewind gift set, which adds the perfect touch of luxury to your gift list. It is the ultimate upgrade to any nightly ritual, featuring their best-selling face moisturizer, their brand new peptide lip mask, and a sculpting gua sha tool. Each element is designed to work together as your body enters its natural nightly repair mode, helping renew skin at the cellular level for stronger, smoother, and more youthful looking complexion. At the core of OneSkin's products is their patented OS1 peptide, the first ingredient proven to target senescent cells, the root cause of wrinkles, crepiness, and loss of elasticity, all key signs of skin aging. And these results have now been validated in 5 different clinical studies. Certified safe for sensitive skin, OneSkin products are free from over 1,500 harsh or irritating ingredients, dermatologists tested, and have been awarded the National Eczema Association Seal of Acceptance by the NEA, delivering powerful results without the side effects. For a limited time, try OneSkin for 15% off using code Hysteria at oneskin.co/hysteria. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Welcome back. Okay, Ina, it is, the holidays are upon us and we have questions. We have a lot of questions. And so do our listeners. So Here's our Q&A.
Okay. This is from Jo Laters, who I recognize this username. She's a college friend of mine who went through the proper channels and submitted her questions. So
she did.
Thank you, Joanna. You're invited to a holiday dinner party and ask what you can bring, and the hosts say nothing. So what do you bring? What is a fail-proof hostess gift?
You know, one thing I never do is bring something that they can serve for dinner because you don't know, you know, if you bring some fabulous dessert and they've made a nice one and everybody goes for your dessert, then it's a little embarrassing for the hostess, and I never want to do that. So I always bring things for breakfast for the next day.
Oh.
So I'll bring a bag of, like, great coffee and granola and jam, things like that, or some kind of wonderful bread, so that they have it for as a treat afterwards.
Oh, I love
That's genius.
That's so
And the other
genius.
Thing is, when everybody brings a bottle of wine, but what dinner party do you serve one bottle of wine at?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
You can never use it at a dinner party because you need at least 2 or 3. And I mean, it's a lovely gift, but it's limited. And you certainly don't want them to feel like they have to serve it at their dinner party right there because you don't know what they're serving.
It's true. You know what I've brought quite a few times, I bring
what?
A little port, and I bring port, and I say enjoy it after we're gone.
That's really lovely. That's fabulous,
right? Because I make it clear this is not for us.
Yeah,
this is for you.
That's one of
when we're long gone.
I love Sauternes. That would be like a half a bottle of Sauternes. Yeah, that's really great.
Okay, so here's one for you. How do you feel about potlucks? How do you pull off a cohesive potluck? Do you need to delegate, dictate what folks bring? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think for Thanksgiving particularly, it's a great idea. First, everybody feels like they're part of the team. So I do like potluck, but you don't want everybody to bring a string bean casserole. So right. I would say maybe ask everybody, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? And bring that and make sure that there aren't like six sweet potato dishes. But right. I think it's a really nice thing to do. And then also because Thanksgiving is like this remembered flavor holiday, mm-hmm. that everybody brings the thing that they remember most. And, you know, you just hope it's good. And if it's not, they'll have a great time with their own dish. You know what? At the end of the day, it's not about the food. It's really about having fun with friends. And if somebody brings something that's not as good as you'd like it to be, who cares?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's the shared experience, the meal, and everybody's going to have something delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. During the holidays, sometimes we end up hosting a dinner with people who may not know each other very well. What's the best way to facilitate everyone having a good time? What do you think of games?
We actually went to a New Year's Eve party in Paris once with some very good friends. We knew everybody, but they didn't know each other. And on the way there, Jeffrey said to me, I think I'm going to ask everybody to go around the table and tell their story. And we thought we knew each of these guests, and we had no idea with some of them. It was so interesting. And that was, I think, like 2000 or 2002. I've never forgotten that. So that's kind of a good way to introduce yourself to a group. I mean, I wouldn't do it with 20 people, but we were, I think, six, and it was a great way to do it.
Another
question Jeffrey once asked, actually people that we knew very well, he said, let's go around it. And tell the thing that would be the worst thing somebody could say about us. The answers were hilarious. But it also told us something about what each person's worst fear was.
Interesting. What can you share any of them that you heard that really stuck with you?
There's one person in that group that's so disorganized. they would go somewhere and forget their bicycle, and they'd have to go back and get the bike. You know, it's just like, and I remember him saying, I'd be horrified if somebody said that I was a disorganized person. And I thought, oh, that's exactly what it is. He nailed it.
Oh, no.
Okay, Ina, you've cooked, you've served, everyone's talked themselves to death. How do you politely signal to everyone that it's time to go?
You don't.
You don't?
I don't. I just, if people are having fun and they want to stay, I want them to stay. I never kind of, you know, like there's always, you always hear about a party where the host gets up and puts on his pajamas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just, if people are having fun and they want to stay up till 3 a.m, I'm flattered to death.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I'm from the Midwest, and everyone's very passive aggressive. And the thing that we do when it's time for people to go is somebody just stands up and goes, "Well, I suppose," and everybody knows that it's time to go. What's your favorite festival cocktail that you can make in advance, or is easy to whip up as folks start arriving?
Well, first, cocktails, you know, recipes for cocktails are usually done one at a time. I never do that because unless you're drinking alone, you don't make one cocktail. So I just think like at Christmas, like cosmopolitans are so festive. And sometimes I'll make, put some dried cranberries in a martini glass and pour a cosmopolitan. But I like to have one like cocktail that you have a picture of. So everybody's drinking the same thing.
Ina, I tried your cosmopolitan recipe, and I swapped out the lemon or the lime, whichever it was, for bergamot. The bergamot is a great addition, and it's like so available this time of year.
What is bergamot?
Bergamot is like a lemon orange. It's the basis of Earl Grey tea. Like the smell of Earl Grey tea is bergamot.
And is it a fruit?
It looks like a lemon.
Wow.
Yes. And I've always seen them. And I'm like, what can I do with this? And so I actually make a jam with bergamot, pear and bergamot. But it smelled so good, I was like, I'm going to try Ina's Cosmo recipe with the bergamot. And it's delicious. It's not quite as bitter, but it's a little more tart or something. I don't know. It has a nice smell to it.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
I like a Cure Royale.
I feel like that's
an easy holiday cocktail.
It's a wonderful, which is Kir and champagne. It's just perfect. Yep.
And a little zest of lemon.
Yeah.
A little zest of lemon.
Turns out lemon's the key to everything.
Lemon is the key to everything.
It's always just that fresh. Edge. That is the one time Ina store-bought
Absolutely.
Is never okay.
Ever. Oh, yeah. Ever,
I completely,
ever.
Completely.
And also,
agree.
People think they can juice the lemon the day before. If you taste lemon that's been juiced a day before and the one that you did today, it's like a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm. No, completely agree. When I start to get this feeling of panic, like a scarcity panic, when I notice that we're out of lemons, even if I have no immediate plans to use the lemon, I'm like, I gotta get lemons at the grocery store. I'm going to use them over the next 24 hours. I must get lemons. Do you have an ingredient that you, when you're running low, you're like, I better replenish.
In a panic about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always have things like that around. And what I actually do is I have bowls next on the counter with all of lemons and limes and things that I use a lot. Mm-hmm. And then when you're making something, you go, you know what? Lemon might be good on this. So it's kind of in my focus.
Hmm. Ina, I have to tell you a funny story before we get to our last question.
Okay.
Because it was a time when you really saved me.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what you expect. So it was 2003 or 2004, and a boyfriend I had had for a long time broke up with me. And I finally find this nice guy. He's very handsome. He cooks. He's kind of posh. I mean, I'm not posh, but it was nice that he is. And we dated for a couple weeks, and then he vanished on me. And I was completely heartbroken. I'm like, what did I do wrong? I couldn't. And it was like before social media. So when he was gone, he was just gone.
Wow.
So fast forward. Everyone, I was working for then Senator Obama, and he's like, what happened? What happened with your date? What happened with your date? I'm like, he never showed up. He's like, let's find him. And I was like, no, I don't think we should do that. And one
I think it's
Sunday,
called stalking, right?
Yeah. It is called stalking.
Senator-assisted stalking is probably worse than regular stalking.
God bless. He was always very fixated on finding me a nice man.
Oh, how
and
lovely.
And so I get home one Sunday afternoon, and I'm watching Barefoot Contessa, and you have on one of the episodes of Ask Ina. And Ina, God is my witness, I am in my 500-square-foot apartment, which means I am both in the kitchen and the living room. And I'm listening. I'm like, oh, let's do the, you know, not really paying attention. And all of a sudden I hear, hi, Ina, my name is Chris. Mm. And it's him.
Oh,
and I turn around and I'm like, what is he doing? He goes, I'm here because I'm throwing a special celebratory birthday for my boyfriend.
And I had never
gotten more redemption. I was like, you're going to be kidding me.
Oh,
and
no.
Yes, it was. I was so happy because I was like, oh, my God, it wasn't
me. What did I do wrong?
It wasn't me. And I called his best friend and I was like, Chris was just on Barefoot Contessa. They're like, oh, we forgot to tell you.
He forgot to tell you?
It wasn't you. It really was him. And so I
Unbelievable. That's hilarious.
Forgotten that story until I told my sister that you were going to be on the show today. She goes, oh, you've got to tell Ina about the Ask Ina segment. And I was like, yeah, that was a good one.
What are the chances of that happening?
So,
and that you were watching at that moment.
It was, well, I mean, to be fair, I would have seen it originally, like at any point, because during the White House, we watched three shows. I watched You, Scandal, and Veep. And Girls. That was it. Those were the shows. And I had a DVR back then, so there was no chance I would miss you.
Was it true that you guys used to watch the show at lunchtime?
Sometimes we watched it at lunch. Sometimes, especially like the Sunday night HBO shows, we used to come in early on Monday so we could talk about it. And we would come in and talk about like, What had Lena Dunham done? What had Ina made? Were we going to try? Because Ina, one of the dishes that, because none of us cooked when we were in the White House, one dish we did cook was the lemon parmesan chicken with thyme.
Yeah.
because we would make it like 5 pieces of chicken on a Sundae and just eat it every night for dinner.
I do that with that recipe too.
It's perfect.
I've got two little kids and no time. It's like working in the White House, except my bosses are toddlers. So I guess it is kind of like working in the White House.
I like this group, but Lena Dunham, me, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
That's a very nice group to be in.
That actually sounds like a dream dinner. Like if you could have the answer to the question, if you could have lunch with three people, who dead or alive, who would you pick? And I'm like, I think that's a solid trio.
I think that's it.
That would be perfect.
Okay. You're invited when it happens.
Okay. Thank you.
So last question. So there is this very old episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show where on Christmas Eve, Mary has to work a shift and she's by herself and she eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich alone before she goes into the newsroom. This scene makes my sister weep because she thought it was my whole life at the White House. Like every holiday, I'm picturing Mary. So our last question is for folks who are celebrating on their own or maybe just with one other person and still want to do something special, what's a nice go-to recipe that's not a huge hassle for the holidays?
You know, everybody did this over the pandemic. I mean, they made Thanksgiving for the people that were just there. So I just made Thanksgiving for Jeffrey. And I instead of making a turkey, which you're going to have forever, I made a roast chicken. And then made, I would make Chipotle smashed sweet potatoes, which are great. Maybe sauteed Brussels sprouts. And what else? And maybe, mushroom and Gruyere bread pudding. And it's
that's delicious.
Basically three dishes that taste like, and cranberry sauce, and three dishes. You've got a great Thanksgiving dinner, and it's not that much work.
Awesome. Thank you,
Ina. Doesn't that sound good?
It does sound good. It sounds delicious, and it sounds reasonably easy.
And doable, exactly.
Ina Garten, thank you so much for joining us.
That was so much fun.
This week's episode. This is a dream come true for both me and Alyssa.
Thank you so much for being so generous
with your time. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Ritual. Let's be real. Our diets aren't always the most balanced this time of year. I've been eating handfuls of crackers as I attempt to get all of the stuff done that I need to get done. I am not eating healthy right now. Enter Ritual, the obsessively researched multivitamin. Ritual's essential multis have the nutrients most of us don't get enough of from food, all in their clean, absorbable forms. No shady additives or ingredients that can do more harm to your body than good. One thing I love about Ritual is I know that I cannot live on crackers alone. And so I just take it every morning. I know that I'm filling in some gaps in the nutrition in the diet that I'm eating during the get everything done part of the year, which is the next few weeks until I can finally lie down, maybe on Christmas Eve. I've tried to pencil it in. I think that might be the first time that I actually can lie down. I also love other Ritual offerings. I love their symbiotic and gut health. It's really good because eating an unbalanced diet can really mess with your gut, and having a messed up gut just makes your whole life less fun. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multi contains 9 key ingredients in 2 delayed-release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day. It's designed to be gentle on the stomach with a minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking your multis actually enjoyable. Ritual has conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential third-party tested for heavy metals and clean label project certified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. It's HSA and FSA eligible with a seamless checkout experience so you can save when you shop with pre-tax dollars. Instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. My listeners get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/hysteria. That's ritual.com/hysteria for 25% off your first month. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who wish the Wicked press tour was audio only.
Oh, my God. I've seen more than I want to see.
I took my daughter, my older one, to go see For Good.
And?
And she loved it. The music, it sounds great. I think that they took the second act of Wicked is notoriously like not good.
Okay.
And they were working with bad material and right. they made it into a good movie. Now the first movie is always going to be better because the first act
right.
is better. That's the source material. But they took the source material of the second act and they really made it into like something like much better than the second act of the musical. So I was into it, but I was really worried when I was watching it, like how like starving some of the actors look.
So I was introduced to this because of I happened to follow a mom who I did not know had grown up with a very severe eating disorder. And she took to Instagram to talk about how she was going to talk to her, that her daughter really wanted to see it. But she had to talk to her about eating disorders and what it means. And I was like, what in the fuck is going on with Wicked? And then I couldn't escape it for the next 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. There's all this. I hate the whole discourse. It's like, you can't comment on people's bodies. It's like, well, if people's bodies are public and they are yeah. they're held up as public examples of what a good body looks like, then I think we should be able to talk about it.
Well, and especially it's not just that someone in the movie lost a lot of weight. It's that the main characters from it look very different than the first movie.
Well, even in the first
and
movie.
And they all very much look the same kind of different in the second movie.
Yeah. I mean, they were all tiny little things in the first movie.
Right.
Too. And in the second movie, it was a lot. It really makes me think about how like women's bodies and trends around women's bodies often are like a reflection and fashion are sort of a mm-hmm. reflection of women's perceived role in society. And I think that right now the idea of us like starving and shrinking is very much reflective of the way that we're seen by people in power. This idealized version of, yeah. Anyway, we can get into it on another show, but I did like the movie. I'll say that.
I'm glad that the movie was good.
I did like the movie, and I think the vocal performances of the second act songs are better than in the musical, which they were really good in the musical. So
great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
So I say see the movie, but like it's very awkward to see a movie and then be like, do I have to talk to my 4-year-old about like anorexia? Like,
right.
Do I need to talk to my 4-year-old about healthy eating? I don't know. I've tried to like position eating to her as like powering up.
Yeah.
Because she's so picky.
Oh, that's
I'll be
such
like,
a good way.
Spider-Man needs to power up. You need to power up. You power up with broccoli. You don't power up with cookies. Cookies don't power you up. Broccoli powers you up.
Does she fall for that?
Yes, she does.
Special little angel.
Yeah. She like jumped out of the back seat of the car the other day and she goes, I'm powered up. That's why I could jump so high. And I was like, yes, that's good. So
see, I guess the cookies are more of a crash and burn kind of power.
The cookies are like if you get a special treat. It's a treat. You get
right.
it, like, you
right.
don't
you
get to eat it all the time.
Broccoli.
You have to eat power-up foods most of the time. And then you can have treats sometimes, too. But yeah, I'm glad I don't have to have the eating disorders conversation yet with my 4-year-old. Okay, before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. Mm. There is some really exciting new Hysteria merch in the Crooked Store. Meet the Hysteria Cookie Tin.
It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, holiday-ready, and perfect for storing cookies or the rogue IKEA screws haunting your junk drawer. Next up, the Sandy Petty card deck. It's a full deck of cards designed to spark some Sandy Petty time in your day. They all say different things that you can do to feel a little less dead inside. For example, one says plant something you're pretty sure you won't kill. Another says light a candle and carry it around your neighborhood like a spooky old lady all the kids think is a witch. You don't need to light a candle. You can use a battery-powered one. They
it's
look
perfect.
Very convincing now. Like they AA batteries. You don't have to worry about like coin ones. Yeah, so that's my suggestion if you want the kids to think you're a witch. You can shop all Hysteria merch now at crooked.com/store. Now let's get to Sandy Petty. I'm feeling petty, Alyssa.
Tell me.
Okay. So last week, we, during our show, I said a blind item. You know what a blind
yes,
item is?
Yes, of course. I know what a blind item is.
It is a rumor or a story that you heard
right.
that where you don't identify any of the parties and you invite the listener or the reader to guess at who the parties are. I just want to explain to most of the people that are listeners are like, you're exempt from this lecture. Blind items are blind items because you can get in trouble for saying the name of the people who are rumored to have done something if you can't prove it, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's – I had a bunch of people send me messages like, I can't believe you wouldn't fucking tell us who it is. It's like the whole point is you guess. It's fun
to
guess.
It's a game.
It's a game and it's fun. And like, yeah, it's a
Did you ever read the Blind Item newsletter?
What, from CDAN, Crazy Days and Nights?
Yes, it's awesome.
It's really fun.
It's so much fun to try to figure out who it is.
The only thing is, the thing that bums me out about that is...
Oh, no, what?
This is another blind item. I knew somebody who is kind of a celebrity who had dealt with privately for a very long time a stalker, serious stalker. So this is not
terrible.
not something that's like in the news. But this person had a stalker, and like it had just gone on for years and years and years, and it had impacted their family, their children. It was like very, very bad. And a few years ago, there were some blind items about this celebrity, and I just had a feeling in the pit of my stomach that it was the stalker that had submitted them, because it read like some of the stuff that this person had told me that the stalker had done. Anyway, so just be wary that like things like Demois and like anonymously submitted blind item websites really leave the door open for people that are just completely batshit insane.
That's
to submit
true too.
Basic like fan fiction. You just always have to take those with a grain of salt. Anyway, yeah, no, and I reached out to my friend when that happened. I was like, this is crazy. And they were like, yeah, we're talking to our case manager about it. So like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a real thing. That's a real thing that crazy people do. So just be wary. That's all. I'm not crazy.
Everything with a grain of salt.
I'm not crazy, nor am I stalking either of the people that are involved in that like urban legend DC story that I told last week. But letting you guys know, if you're reading like Demois or whatever, just like keep
in Demois mind. Is a good one too.
Keep in mind some of that is just like shit that's been made up.
Well, you read it. It's like, what it's like making out with all these different celebrities. And I'm like, I could literally just write that. I could just say this.
Should I?
So I'm always aware of that, but I still think some of them are funny.
Should I? I have another like authentic blind item. Do you want to know? This isn't media. This isn't politics. This is like pure, this is an A-list celebrity.
Okay.
A-list. Mm-hmm. I heard this from a friend of a friend who told it to like a large group.
Barack Obama did not have an affair with Jennifer Aniston.
That's like the funniest thing that people have ever asked me about. It's like, I don't even know him. I don't know him at all.
I had real reporters ask me about that. I'm like, what's wrong with
so
you?
Crazy. Okay, so this A-list male celebrity.
Okay.
Who has, this isn't really going to give away who it is, but he's been in a superhero franchise.
Okay.
And he had a guest house where... This friend was visiting a friend who was in town who happened to be staying at his guest house. He had like this big house, right? So this, you know, didn't think he was going to be there, but, you know, goes to the guest house to see their friend who's in from out of town staying with him. Uh-huh. And he's there and he's super nice and he gives everybody mushrooms, like psychedelic mushrooms, and they all do mushrooms together.
Really?
And then he leads them all into the main house and he opens up the fridge, and inside the fridge in the main kitchen is a full wedding cake. This man was not married. He just had
Stop it.
A full
I thought you were going to say a dead body.
No.
Where is this going?
And then they were on mushrooms and like shared the wedding cake with this super A-list star, and they were just these kind of like they were like working in the entertainment industry, but they weren't like important people. He just was like, oh, my house guest has some friends over. Let's like go in my house. Let's do mushrooms, go inside and eat some wedding cake. And they did. Apparently, he's just like a super nice guy who does a ton of psychedelics. And you would not guess, like thinking of the most like psychedelic-y.
Yeah.
Like A-listers, you wouldn't. It's not among the ones that you would guess are at the top of the list.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have guesses off.
I will tell you off. This is like a little bit trickier. And it's also like, I'm sure that it's like, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal if people knew who it was, but I also don't want to like, you know, blow up this person's spot.
But
so
that's
anyway,
funny.
Yeah. Pretty funny. And this would have been in like 2017.
That was the perfect primer on blind items.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's a blind item, but I don't want to say who it is because like, I don't want to be involved in telling stories about this.
No, because it's not your story to tell.
No, exactly. Exactly. Okay, Alyssa, Sani or Petty?
I'm Sani. I'm so Sani this week. Aaron, I have reached my pinnacle. I think this is as high as I will ever get in the Mormon reality show universe. Whitney Levitt, who for many seasons on The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is the villain. She's always the villain. Season 3, she comes back. And they're like, Why does she want back in Mom Talk? The whole show is about Mom Talk, their TikTok. And she wants back. And she's just fucking honest as hell. She's like, I heard about Dancing with the Stars and I want to be considered. So I'm back on Mom Talk. And she ends up getting on Dancing with the Stars. She is incredible.
Mormons are good dancers, randomly.
She is an incredible, she's not just a dancer, the showmanship this woman had. She ends up getting cut with her partner before they get to the freestyle, which is like always my favorite. And Call Her Daddy and ABC end up letting them do their freestyle and they produce it. And it is unbelievable. And the whole time she was very clear that her dream is to get on Broadway. And when this is all over, she very deservedly is going to play Roxy Hart in Chicago on Broadway.
I love that.
The reason that I'm just, I love this, she, so that role
Roxy
actually does not require singing. Yes.
Roxy doesn't have to sing. And that's kind of the part of the joke.
Exactly. Like, and so the thing I like it is like, she just was like, this is what I want and I'm going to do it. She didn't hurt anybody to get it. She just worked really hard. And I'm like, really invested in her now.
I kind of like that. I like that.
Thanks. Also, the reunion is Thursday night.
Well, I feel like I'm just missing out on the Mormon wife thing. It just...
Look, I read an article about how real intellectual people were into it, and I was like, see, I've got cover here.
Yeah, I guess, like, I've just spent... I feel like there's something so insidious about, like, Utah as a cultural fulcrum. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, they even talk about it. Like, they're just like, it's kind of weird here.
Well, it's everything corny about white people emanates from Utah at this point.
Yeah.
Utah is a corniness factory. And you see it, like, I have a relative in the Midwest who, like, started posting like she was an influencer and she doesn't have, like, many followers at all. And it was like,
I have one of those in my life.
Yeah, it was like, it's, you don't
so brutal.
Talk like that. Why are you staging photos like this? Why are you decorating your house like a beige,
why do you have a photographer?
Yeah, it's very, very odd. And it's, yeah, I there's something I can't, like, let go and have fun. I'm like the main character. I was watching Pluribus last night. Have you been watching this?
No, I haven't. It's on my list.
It's probably, it might be too intense for you. No.
Okay, thank you. That's good to know.
The first episode is pretty intense, but after that, it gets more like existential.
Have you watched Cemetery Road?
No.
Okay, I think that might be more my speed right now.
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but Pluribus, the main character is played by the woman who is the main character in Better Call Saul. Rhea Seehorn is the main character. It's a Vince Gilligan show, so you know it's, like, written impeccably.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a character who is just, like, very resistant to connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very, like, she can't have fun. She can't, like, let go. And we were watching it last night, and Josh turns to me and he goes, she's a lot like you. I was like, thanks. That's really nice.
Wow.
I mean, but I feel like I'm missing a part. Like, there's a part of me that I just can't, like, totally let go and just be like, yes, Mormon wives, tell me about your secret lives. I'm so interested.
See, here's the thing. That's the whole thing. It's like, everybody watches, like, the Bravo Housewives, right? And I never really watched any of those because they were just, like, too much. Mm-hmm. There is something about this crew that's just, the stakes aren't very high. You know what I mean? And the thing that I love about Whitney is that she may be the corniest one on the whole show. And even though now she's, like, going to be Roxy Hart, she's still corny. So I'm like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Okay. I will say, I'll advocate for season one of the original, like, Real Housewives of Orange County. It is a museum of going out tops from 2005.
The first seasons of New Jersey, New York, and Orange County are very good. I mean, those are, like, you know, they were the originals. They were the best.
I also watched a recent Beverly Hills one where they have a dinner party and Denise Richards comes and she's, like, really messed up and it's incredible. It's incredible television. Like,
it's top tier. It's probably second only to Teresa Giudice flipping the table saying, son of a whore.
Prostitution whore.
Prostitution whore. Prostitution whore.
I really want to do a show about real husbands. I want, like, a real husband's show.
Okay, so this is why you might like The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, because dad talk is now a thing, and I think they might get a spinoff.
We should do a whole show about, like, the absolute fakery underlying the, like, trad wife movement, where it's all these women are breadwinners. They are all breadwinners.
Everyone in the show is the breadwinner.
They're making fucking
the
bank.
Women.
They are the head of the household by all measures, except they all pretend that their husbands are in charge. And like they're organizing everything. They're remembering everything. They are the face. If they were to disappear, the livelihood of that household would vanish. Like, and we're all, they're all cosplaying like, I'm subjugated, blah, blah, blah. It's like gross.
See, but here's why I think you'd love season three of The Secret Wives, because the husbands are like, dude, this is awesome. They're in LA for like press tour and they're just like out kicking it. They're like, I think I'm going to quit my job. This is so much better. It's all, and they all have like double wide strollers with the kids. I'm just telling you, it's much more liberated than you would think.
That's true. It kind of sounds like my going to like a playground in my neighborhood at a certain time of day. It's like around like after school time, like 4 p.m. It is mostly dads, and you can tell it's because the moms were like, take them out of here.
Go.
And the dads were like, yep, you got it. Like, and they take them to the park. Because that's what happens in my house. Get these kids away from me.
Take them.
Get them out of here. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode.
That was good.
We want to offer a giant thank you to Ina Garten.
The best of the best.
Okay, first of all, Alyssa, I witnessed you guys becoming like best friends over
thank
the course.
Thank you.
That's the first time you two have spoken.
Yes, and you know that it's just, she's my dream. I mean, this was like the most exciting, most fun thing for us to be able to do for the holidays was for Ina Garten to be like, yeah, girls, I'll come on the show.
But also, Alyssa, you are better at making friends than anybody I've ever met in my entire life. It is like a magic power.
Thank you. But you know, my love for you is real.
Thank you. But also, so is your love for Ina.
Oh, yes, yes. But like, you know, in general.
Like,
I just wanted to say it.
Oh, thank you.
It's like the holidays, and we're showing appreciation.
Ina was so generous with her time. She was so, like, warm and funny.
And fun.
And friendly. We could have talked to her for hours. She's just wonderful. And make sure to check out her new book, Be Ready When the Luck Comes. Hey, if you're listening, you probably have some people you haven't bought Christmas presents for.
Let me tell you, get that book. But I have to say, listening to the audiobook is also an exceptional experience. I did both.
Ooh, love that. You're double dipping, Ina. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you this week and every week for being my ride or die. Hysteria listeners, we love you so much. You're the best in the biz. We'll fight anyone who claims otherwise. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. If you want to send us blind item guesses, you want to send us a blind item, I'll read it. That's
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. I will assess whether or not you seem like you're unhinged, and then I will go from there on whether or not to read it on the show. But we love hearing from you. If you have any tips, thoughts, whatever, our inbox is open, and several of us read those messages, so don't get too personal. There will be more hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gaia and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.